Hey, Ron, do me a favor and just put up the pictures that you have of yesterday's women's event. Would you do that? I just want you guys to see what's happening with the women of Center Point. That was the room next door Saturday morning. Kind of a girly thing, you know. I know there were a lot of women there. Okay. I think there were about 30 of our ladies that came to that event. It's kind of an annual event. I think it might be an annual event for the ladies. It is, that's kind of a shameless promotion for ladies. Get involved on the first Saturday of every morning throughout the year 2017. You're going to be involved in a study, God's Word. You're going to be looking at the attributes of God, and that's a really good thing. Men, not to be left out. I think if I'd have been thinking, I'd have had a slide put up of Patrick O'Hara lifting 1,000 pounds or something like that. He posted something. He's quite an athlete, and I always know things are going to happen in his life whenever Oklahoma, that's who he used to kick for, place kicker and anything involving kicking something. He was quite an athlete, still is, but he posted something lifting some amount of weight that was just stupid. I threw my back out just watching the thing that he was doing. He was, on some television show sometime this past couple months of the Steve Austin, some kind of challenge thing where they kick other people. So he's quite an athlete. But I think, we'll promo maybe the men's Bible study that will start it will be the first Tuesday of February. And we're going to be looking at what it means, what true spirituality looks like. David Job will be giving leadership to that. David is suffering for Jesus in St. Lucia. I think that's some island that's warm. So we'll be promoting that, and I think we'll use Patrick O'Hara's thing, and we won't be decorating it in lamps and things like that. We're getting moose heads to hang on the wall and gun racks and stuff like that. So anyway, oh, really? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, we will pray for David. I know he's so struggled with his back. Maybe he watched Patrick's video. Maybe that's what happened to his back. But anyway, Patrick's the owner of Mo Fitness, and if you're looking for some place to get fit, I am. And I don't know that I want to do that, though, Patrick. So if you'll promise me not to hurt me, maybe I'll do that this new year. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. For the past 4 to 6 months, I've been telling you about a building in 6 acres that was being offered to us by a local church who has fallen on hard times. Pastor there, Les Castle, dear friend. And we have some of their folks that are here with us this morning, and I just really want to honor them for this most generous offer. You've heard the slogan, put your money where your mouth is. You've heard that, right? Well, this is the deed that is now in Center Point's name. And my wife and I put our money where our mouth is. this most generous offer from this precious church and their pastor came at a cost of $1. I ask you, who does that? Who does that? So those of you from Cornerstone who are here, who are nameless and faceless today, our arms are open wide. You know, as we move forward in faith, let's really give ourselves to what God has prepared for us this year. Let's give ourselves to this. Throughout the month of January, we are talking about God's purpose. And from the beginning, you know, his purpose we looked at last week, and we'll be looking, hanging a little more meat on that these next few weeks. Then in the month of February, we'll look at his provision, and in the month of March, at his promise, what he's promised us to those who would move forward, not just us, but to those who would move forward in faith. You know, it's impossible to please him without it, remember? The writer of Hebrews says that. Can't please him unless you have faith. And faith is, you know, it's the stuff of things hoped for. It's the stuff of things not seen. And what might God do with the people who would move forward in faith? I mean, who'd let her rip. I'm pretty sure that verse is in the Bible, let her rip. But his purpose from the beginning has been to be fruitful and multiply, to and then as it says in Genesis 1:26, God says, let us, the totality of God, let us make man in our, the totality of God, all the fullness of God, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, that we would become like him, that his desire is that we would be like him. And if you want to know what him looks like, it's bad English, if you want to know what he looks like, look at Jesus. That's the mantra of this church and every church that is called to be fruitful and multiply. Just look at Jesus. As an acquaintance of mine says, just read the red and pray the power. You know, the red letter stuff. Just look at Jesus. Look at the Gospels. You know, don't get weighted down with all these other peripheral kinds of things that can sometimes so easily weight us down. Lay aside those things. And the weight that so easily clings to us and the sin that so easily chokes us out. What could God do with a people who would commit themselves together to move forward in faith? And I just really want to challenge us all and our pastors, wonderful preachers here. Michael, you'll be hearing from him and others, Ken, you'll be hearing from these guys. And we want to challenge you in the month of 2017 to come on, let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. Let's move forward in faith. I mean, how many more churches can we plant? How many more people can we populate heaven with? How many more names can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If we'll just but move forward in faith. do things differently. Every church that starts wants to, you know, they all say the same thing. Well, we just want to be different. Then they all end up not different. You know? Let's really give ourselves to this thing in 2017. Are you with me? I mean, let's give ourselves to this. Let's make a difference. Just don't have your epitaph, your, well, that's a sick thought. Let's don't have your, you know, the thing said about you. Let's don't make it, well, you know, well, he always wishy, he shoulda, woulda, coulda. You know, let's give ourselves. To this. Scripture says they were so fruitful and so multiplied that the Hebrew word is the word sharatz, which literally means to swarm. It's like bees, you know, swarm. It's just swarm. They're everywhere. They're everywhere, you know. And there's another word that is used actually later on in, let's see, where is it? Well, yeah, it's still in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 1. Take your Bibles and or the electronic device that you have and look that up. Look up Exodus 1 and 2. We're going to be camped there for just a little bit, certainly the rest of this month. But it says in verse 7, but the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and swarmed. And multiplied and became exceedingly mighty. And that's an interesting word there, mighty. The word is atzam in Hebrew, and it just literally means they just became more. I tell you, I something happened to me a while ago. Michael kept praying and kept exhorting us to you know, more Lord, more Lord, and I just want more of God. Don't you? I just want more of God. Now, I know of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. That's what John's gospel says in chapter 1. But there's this kind of, I don't remember, it's one of these old dudes that's long gone that wrote stuff that we like to read. And he used to say that there should be a kind of holy dissatisfaction. That's what he called it. A holy dissatisfaction to the Christian life. And here's what he meant by that. He meant that at one time we are definitely satisfied with God. God satisfies us. You'd agree with that, right? Now, three of you do. So he satisfies us, but at the same time, we're dissatisfied. We want more. We want more. And, well, four of us do. We had somebody back there in the back. I saw, heard that. yeah, I'm messing with you. But it means to just be more, to be numerous, to be fruitful, to multiply after him, that we would see others come to Christ who would say, you know what, I've watched your life, and it looks like there's something different about you. And you can respond in some way that will connect with them. Well, I'm just moving forward in faith this year. And last year's gone, but this is a new year. I've never had a chance to mess this one up. So, and likewise, I've never had a chance to succeed. How am I going to do that? How are we going to do that? Move forward in faith to be fruitful and to multiply. And, of course, what happened there? Verse 8 tells us, now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. That's a big uh-oh. You say that with me. Uh-oh. That's what happened there. Big uh-oh. But in spite of that, it says that it didn't make any difference. It says, verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. It's almost reminiscent. Well, it is reminiscent. Not almost. It is reminiscent of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those three Hebrew dudes, children? They were tossed into the fiery furnace because of their faithfulness. They're moving forward in faith. Everybody else says, you're going to do it this way. And they said, no, we're not going to do it this way. We're going to do it God's way. And that we don't know how this is going to work out, but we're going to do it God's way. We're moving forward in faith. So they got tossed in the fiery furnace. And it was like they said, you think that's not hot? Turn this sucker up. So it's 7 times hotter. You know the story. Some of the guests are saying he used the word sucker in a sentence. I'm never coming back here. Just move forward in faith wherever you're going, all right? I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm just got this working in me. Verses 13 and 14 goes on to say that the Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor vigorously, and they made their lives bitter with hard labor and mortar and bricks, and that all kinds of labor in the field, and all their labors which they rigorously imposed on them. This affliction, you know, you may remember, was foretold to Abram before he became Abraham back in Genesis in chapter 15 and verses 12 and 13. And Abram has this amazing dream. And it says, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And verse 13 says, and God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. That's pretty rough dream. Ever have dreams like that? Yeah. I had one this week. I'm going to tell you about in a little bit. Where they will be enslaved and it's getting worse. Where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years, foretelling what was about to take place. And where we are right now in the book of Exodus. Don't you know they must have questioned who's in charge here? I'll tell you who God is. Are you with me? God's in charge. Whatever you're going through today, I just want you to know God's in charge. If you're a person of faith, if you're moving forward in faith, God is in charge. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. God is in charge. So let's just push the pause button just a little bit here before we get into the meat of Exodus. What about you? In the midst of your affliction, is that your question? Who's in charge here? I want to verbally underscore for you, God is. God is in charge. God is in charge. And he's raising up a people of faith who will move forward in faith with him. I just want from this passage, we're going to look at some verses in Exodus chapters 2 through 4. I just kind of want to underscore for you that what was going on with the children of Israel, the same thing that goes on with us, that in the midst of affliction, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of good or bad, there are at least, I want to pull 3 certainties out of this passage. At least 3. The first is this. God is working. He's not asleep. Michael alluded to that. He's not asleep. God is working. And really, it's really the only thing we really need to know, really, I think. The first 2 words of that, God is. Not God was. Not God might be. Not we hope that God might be. God is. If you don't get anything else from what we have done today in worship and my teaching this morning, I want you to know that God is. But the first certainty is this, that he's working. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. If you have your Bibles, here's what it says. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died. We heard about that a while ago. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage. Has that ever happened to you? In the midst of difficulty, have you ever just like, just sighed, kind of like, you know the old adage, cheer up, things could be worse. And then you cheered up and things got worse. You sighed. It's like, oh man, you know. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. What do you think they cried out? I'm just kind of curious, just from your perspective. Tell me what you're hearing them say right now. You tell me. Hello, what?
Why me?
Why me?
How long?
Where are you, God? Everybody else over here must be doing okay over here. I know Patrick is. He can lift 8,000 pounds over his head. He's fine. You know what? His wife can lift more. Well, maybe, but she can lift a lot, okay? So, where are you? Who's in charge? We're going down. What?
God. God's in charge.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Help! Yeah, you know when a house is on fire, it's not this. Oh Lord Most High, methinks I smell a little smoke. In fact, Lord God, my feet are now burned off, and I'm no, you don't say that. It's fire. I know we're never supposed to yell that in a thing like this. It's help. This is what was going on. I know. I got the lights, or did I just have a retinal tear? At my age, things tend to tear. So not 8,000 pounds. Should I show up, Patrick? Their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. And what follows are some amazing, what I'm calling, God is working verbs. These wonderful action words. There are a whole bunch of fill in the blank things. If you can get these all right, you can go to heaven. It starts in verse 24 and goes through chapter 3 and verse 9. So God heard. I'm going to try to pause on these. I wrote these in here several weeks ago when I started preparing these messages and stuff. And I got all messed up. I mean, if you could see my Bible, I like to draw and write and color and stuff in my Bible. And it's really disgusting. 65-year-old man. Still using markers. So God heard their groaning. Here's another thing he did. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 25, and God saw the sons of Israel. God took notice. It's not just a glance. It's not like, oh yeah, I see that. No, it's like he draws aside. It's like he sees what we're going through and he's checking it out. He's wanting to know. He's taking notice of things. And then down in chapter 3 in verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed. That's, again, it's not just a glance. I'm paying attention. You have his full attention in the midst of whatever difficulties you're in. And then in verse 7 it says, I have given heed, I am aware. Verse 8, I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up. That's what's happened. That's what God does. He comes down to bring us up. Yes. What kind of a God does something like that? Don Wright Sr. said, it's our God. It's the one that we have placed our faith in. It's the one that we're all in. We want to be all in. Oh, people, I just, come on, let's do this thing this year. Whatever it is that he's going to call us to do. And we'll be giving you more vision about that. And then in verse 8 it says, I've come down to deliver, to bring them up. If from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, and Hivite, and Jebusite, and Socialite, and Termite, Stalactite. One more. Stalagmite. That's weak. Verse 9, now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come up to me. Furthermore, here it is again, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing. In the midst of whatever difficulty that you're going through, I want you to be assured of this certainty. God is working. He's on the job. He's not taking a day off. Amen. I have I have some recurring dreams. I know this is going to mess some of you up. You're going to say, yep, he's flipped out. I have some recurring dreams that I'll not share with you. But what happens in those dreams is fear arises in my heart. I hope this isn't bothering you for me to say that. My guess is you do too. I have to say that the overwhelming majority, I don't dream X-rated stuff, okay? I don't want anybody to go get crazy in your head about things. My dreams almost 100%, and I know my friend Ken Woodward here and other pastors and stuff, maybe this is a pastoral thing. I'll be kind of like to get some time with you just to kind of see if maybe that's stuff that, you know. But my dreams almost 100% are about you, the church. And typically they're dreams that cause fear to come up because it's like, I don't know that they're going to make it. I don't know that this one's going to make it. I don't know that that one's going to make it. I just don't know. And usually it's folks that I've had some sort of contact with. I'm just kind of somewhat spiritually undressing myself here in front of you. And so I have these fears, you know, that come up, and they come up regularly. And, you know, normally my wife, she's on this side of me and in bed, and she'll usually, when she knows that, she'll usually just pat me kind of on the shoulder. She'll just kind of pat me on the shoulder, you know. Well, I had one of those this week. I think it was, it doesn't matter when. It was, I want to say Wednesday, but it doesn't matter. This past week, and I have my time with the Lord considerably earlier than she has with hers, because I don't sleep all that well, and it's just kind of, you know, just one of those things. 5 o'clock, I'm wide awake. Usually it's around 4:30, and then these things just begin to ruminate in me, and more fear just kind of crops up, and I go through some spiritual gymnastics to move forward in that, okay? You know, some people count sheep. I look to the shepherd. Are you with me? She has her quiet time on the other side of the house, and so a couple hours after I'm up and everything and spend time with the Lord, I just went in just to kind of share with her. By that time, I had already, you know, God had won the victory, and he brought me through all that stuff, and you know, I know all those. I know the verses that you know. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know, he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of love, sound mind, you know, control, that kind of deal, and so power. So I go, you know, I jump through these different verses and stuff like that, and I audibly, if you were in my house, you'd know that I really had lost it. I audibly, I say these things out loud to the Lord, okay? David talks about it in the Psalms. Many times he says, speak to your own soul. That's what he says. Many times in the Psalms. And I don't know exactly what that meant for him. I got a list of 1,401 questions I'm going to ask a variety of people when I get to heaven. And one of those is going to be to David. I want to say, hey, I just want to know, when you said speak to your own soul, does that mean like talk to yourself? Or what does that mean? You know? And, you know, obviously by that time it won't matter. But so I say those things out loud. I write things down. And I try to involve as many senses as I can. The more senses you can involve in a learning process, the greater the retention. And so I try to involve a lot of senses. And so sometimes I'm kind of radical about that. You know, I'm sometimes standing and I know it's a little bizarre probably. But so this particular morning this past week, I went into my wife and I told her, and she said, well, let me just read something to you. And she had just read this in her quiet time. This is free. It's not really too much part of the message, but kind of sort of is. Psalm 34. Now, a lot of these passages, you have favorite verses in. I know, I do. And so as soon as she said Psalm 34, I remembered, you know, a particular verse in there, Psalm 34, 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good, that kind of thing. So I said, oh, yeah, I know that's a good psalm. But the whole psalm. And I tell you, she'd have sat there and just read. Just read the psalm to me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. So I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I went through and highlighted and then circled in a different color all the times it said all. I got a thing for words, you know that. Delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, oh yeah, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all, say that with me, all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We sang a song in worship today, Ken. You know, everything you do is just so special, so good. And just a little bit, I want you to lead us in that song again. And if you want to have the whole worship team up here doing it, that's great. So it's kind of your call. It's the deal about sing to the Lord, he is worthy. Da, 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 da. I obviously don't know the song. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man. I think that's how we'll finish our day today. Takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord. Kind of changing things a little bit. Oh, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Some of those young lions can still lift 3,000 pounds, but they suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Are you with me? Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? I'm one of those. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And the fear was just lifting off of me as she was reading that psalm. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Oh, cut off the memory of all that stuff that would create fear. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all. Say that with me. All their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Thank you. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. I'm not lifting 3,000 pounds because my bones will be broken, okay? Out of them all his bones will be broken. The evil shall slay, verse 21, shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. You see, we are all prone, even your pastor is prone to wonder at times who's in charge here. So who is? Say that with me. God is. That may be the most important thing that we hear all morning. God is. He's working in my circumstances, and he's working in yours. Orville Cornyn, I am so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that God is doing things in your life that is so good. Daniel Rowe, I couldn't be more thrilled that you're here. I like it that the rest of you are here too. But some of these have been involved in a fight of their life. And today is a good day. Today you've chosen right. We all have. We're in this together, right? Come on, church. Let's do this thing together that God is calling us to. Well, that's the first certainty. Wow, I got to speed along. Ken, why don't you, if you'll make your way around here, that encourages everybody that I'm about finished. So go ahead. Just, yeah. You're Ken, aren't you? Yeah. So if you really wanted to get me done quick, you'd take a shortcut. Yeah, now I tell him. So when you get around here, don't even park it. Just move right on in. Here's the second certainty I want to put you in remembrance of. The first one is God is working. The second is this. God is calling. Now here's what Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4 says. You know it. It's the burning bush experience. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe, in Hebrew, Moses, Moses. Old flawed Moses. If you look a little earlier in his story, you know, he came upon an Egyptian having a fight to death with one of his own family, with his people, an Israelite. And so what does Moses do? You guys know the story? John knows it. He kills him, whacks him. Done. You're out of here. You're toast. Right decision, Moses? Probably not. It certainly feels that way when you look down in chapter 2 and verse 14 says, but he said, now he comes upon a couple of Hebrews fighting, a couple of Israelites fighting, and he gets torqued with them. Why are you fighting? You know. Then verse 14, but he said, who made you a prince? He didn't say it, but I mean who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? That's what one of them said. Are you going to do to us what you did to that guy? Do you think you're in charge of me? Who made you in charge of us? Well, you know, that's what he says. Who made you prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, oh, can I get a do-over? That's kind of what it says here. Surely the matter has become known. In other words, does everybody know this? Oh, man. Oh, God, can I get a do-over, please? And it was at that point he flees to Midian. We're going to hear some more messages from Midian next week. I really want to encourage you to be here. But it was at that point that he has this burning bush experience. He sees a bush that is burning and is not consumed, it says. And he hears, as he's doing his shepherd stuff for those 40 years, and many, he hears, Moshe, Moshe, Moshe. Now, I don't know about you, but that'd get my attention. Wouldn't that get your attention? About six of you. We're growing. We're growing. That's good. No, it would get our attention, wouldn't it? If there's something that's going on and you begin to hear your name being called out of a building that's on fire, and yet it just, the flames are coming up, but there doesn't seem to be going away, and you hear, you know, your name being called. Yeah, that'd get my attention. And so it says that he turned aside, and his wonderful response, so simple, I'm here. Here I am. What? Did you say my name? What? Moshe. But, and that little three-letter word characterized his response, wasn't it? But God. You'll find four different objections in there. And you can find them with me there. The first one's found in verse 11, but Moses said, of chapter 3, Moses said to God, who am I and I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? That's objection number one. By the way, every one of these objections basically say the same thing. I got nothing here. I got nothing. God's calling him, and yet he has all of, it's not just, I mean, it's resistance, all right. You know, his response was, here I am, and there's this resistance. It's a real resistance or reluctance. I could have stuck another R word there. Reluctance, whatever. But there's great resistance. The second objection comes in verse 13. Basically says the same thing. I got nothing. The third one you find in chapter 4 and verse 2. What, you know, these objections that he has. And then the last one you'll find in chapter 4 and verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently, nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I'm slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. What was he saying to God? I got nothing here. And yet God still was calling him. This year, as we look to move forward in faith, especially as we begin to call out and raise up teams, painting teams, landscaping teams, demolition. Man, I'm all about that demolition stuff. You know, if there's going to be any kind of little bit of renovation or anything like that, that we may want to do with this new piece of property, this wonderfully generous gift from these wonderful people called Cornerstone. And there's going to be opportunity for you to serve. There's going to be opportunity for you to use the talents and the gifts that God has already given you. You can't paint a lick. I don't want you handling a paintbrush. You know, Steve Black, there's something that has really, I've wondered about. My wife went over to your mom's house. Steve, I'm going to come back here to you. Yeah. She went over to your mom's house. Easy, Pesto. Yeah, I know. Where's that Kincaid guy when I need him? He's got all these big, hungry dogs. Preacher-eating dogs. And easy, Pesto. That a boy. And my wife went over to your mom's house. I think it was after she had passed away. Right. And you indicated to her, now this is that right, Sally? Am I getting this all right?
Went over with her mother.
Yeah. And I think showed a piece of furniture. How'd that go, Sally?
A piece of furniture, I think, after he lost his sight.
After, did you hear what she said? Piece of furniture that Steve had made for his mother after he had lost his sight. Are you serious? Now, I can, because he makes these amazing pens that many of us have received, some of his pens that he has made, which that always concerns me. And I've been to Steve's house many times. I've seen the lathe and everything that he uses to turn blind, okay? And a lot of other things that Steve does that is amazing. You know, the dude puts up his own Christmas lights on top of his house. I'm getting there. Hang on a second. I'm getting there. That doesn't bother the neighbors nearly as much as the fact that he's got pesto up there. That's not true, is it, Steve? That's not true. But check this. Yeah, he mows his lawn, and I could go on with that, too. But you know what he does? I'm getting there, Ken. You know what else? He paints. Now, I don't understand that. Keep a wet edge. You know, that works, man. Okay, I remember that. I've seen what you do, and if you want to be on the painting team, Steve, you're on it. If you want to be on the light hanging team, you're on it. If you want to be on any kind of woodworking team, you're on it, Steve. God's calling us to be all in, to move forward in faith. And you're going to have a lot of objections, perhaps just like Moses did. But you need to remember, God is calling. He's working, and he's calling. I don't think I have it in the notes here, but there's actually kind of a third point that I would want to make there, this subpoint, and that is that he has this request that he makes in chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, "Please, Lord, now send the," this is Moses, "please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will." And it was like, I wrote it in my Bible. I wrote it down here, "That'd be you, Moses." Are you with me on this? So don't be saying you can't. You know what? You can't. But you never could. God can, and he promised he would. I made a rhyme. Had a hymn that I remember singing as a little kid just now, kind of thinking about this. I don't want you to play it, but you know, remember that hymn we used to sing when we were little kids, little beards? Whosoever meaneth me, whosoever surely meaneth me. Yeah. Sounds like a jib jab kind of a thing. Anyway. Hey. Beware of Ken at your back. Beware of the man behind the curtain. So God raised up someone who you'll deliver the message through. God says, that'd be you. That'd be you. That'd be you. Be me. Don't say, don't object, I got nothing. You just say, God's got it all. God is working. God is calling. So go ahead and ask the question, who's in charge here? God is. And he's calling you to trust him in the midst of your struggling circumstances, stirring you with his word and by way of his Holy Spirit to move forward in faith. Well, the last certainty, and I'll be brief, is simply this: God is empowering. I love what when Moses gives all these objections, and then God says to him in chapter 4 and verse 2, the Lord said to him, what do you got in your hand? A stick? A rod? A hot rod? That's what you got. God, he knew what was going on. And he told him in verse 21 of chapter 3, I'll grant you, I'm going to do this thing through you, and I'm going to put something in your hand. And he gave him a stick, but not just any old stick. A rod, a hot rod. So I ask you, what do you got in your hand? God has put talents and gifts in all of us that if we'll just use them in faith, if we'll just move forward in faith, see, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. God is working. God is calling. God is empowering. He has put things in you. And I believe personally that came when you said yes to Him. When you said, yes, I will follow you. Some call it become a Christian. Some call it being converted. You know, I don't care what you call it. Yeah, you might not be what you ought to be, but you sure aren't what you used to be. And it's all because of Jesus, by whose name we're called, Christian, by whose steps we are walking. And I believe at that point of conversion, when you crossed over and your name was then written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that God poured Himself into you so fully with gifts, not just talents, I'm talking gifts, spiritual gifts. For some of you, the prophetic. For some of you, administration. For some of you, helps and service. For some of you, evangelism. For some of you, the gifts. He poured those things into you. So the question is, what do you got in your hand? To use it. Use it. Let's move forward in faith in 2017. Not just to move to another facility, and you'll be hearing more about that. It's not about that. It's about being fruitful and multiplying in God's likeness, to see people raised up and trained to be like Him. Be like Him. Do you want to do that? I do. Man, I want to go for it. Feel a little bit like Caleb. You know, Caleb was an old dude. Officially an old dude, you know, this last year. Some of you say, you've been an old dude as long as I've known you. But, you know, he was like 85, but not 85. He was 85 years old when he stood there. Moses gone. He knew the promise. He knew the promised land was promised him. Moses told him that as well. And he said, I'm 85 years old, but I'm as strong today as I was when I first heard from God. Now give me that mountain. That's what he said. So as long as there's one breath, one heartbeat, what do you got in your hand? Let's use it to be fruitful and to multiply after his kind. Amen? Let's stand. Ken, don't you, anybody else wants to come up here and play? I mean, you know, play. Put me on this mic over here. I'll help them.
Sing to the Lord, he is worthy. Glory and praise.
Oh, bow down before him, adore him, and honor his name.
Sing it.
Oh, sing to the Lord, he is worthy of glory and praise.
Come on, sing.
Church. Let the church break forth in joyful expression. Let the earth be glad.
In anticipation, let all of creation
open their eyes.
Yeah. Come on, let's sing that together. Forward in faith. Well, sing to the Lord.
Oh, sing to
ourselves together to using whatever you have given us in 2017 to be fruitful, to multiply, to see people come to Christ, to become just like you, Father God. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord this year, God, more than we ever have, oh God. Use us this year, oh God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit again and again, again and again. We
We know it's not by our might, it's not by our power. It's by your Spirit. We move forward in faith. So, Father God, we commit ourselves together. And those who yet are nameless and faceless to us, to move forward in faith. To see a people raised up who will really take seriously the mission of Christ to reach the lost by being Savior-focused and spiritually fashioned and scripturally founded. Use us this year, O God. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Come back next week. We'll do it again and better, okay? Bring somebody with you. Say hello to three or four people. And if you want to know how to lift 3,000 pounds, it's that guy right back there with a red Oklahoma shirt on. He'll help you do that next week, okay? So God bless you, and we'll see you next week.